Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Before the break, we met up with Camille Morgan, the curator of the traveling exhibit on the Ebony Fashion Fair, now open at the Milwaukee Art Museum. The fair shares an anniversary with the fashion program at Mount Mary University.
And 13 of the garments that are on display at the Art Museum came from Mount Mary's historic costume collection. Barbara Armstrong is dean of the School of Arts and Design at the university, and she was one of the key coordinators in the collaboration. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Tell me about the connection between Mount Mary and the Ebony Fashion Fair. There's this wonderful exhibit that's going on at the Art Museum right now, and Mount Mary played a big part of that.
Well, it's actually fascinating because as the Art Museum was planning to bring this show to town, they had some objectives, and one of it was increasing their audience. And they recognized that we have a fabulous fashion program, so they called us and asked us to sponsor. Well, conversations kept going, and we realized this is really a great connection for us. And we knew that we had several garments that we had purchased from the Ebony Fashion Show when they reduced their collection. We mentioned this. And so the curator, Camille Morgan, came out, and we'd initially talked, well, maybe we could have one or two garments. And when she came with David, the artistic director, and she was like, I want that one, I want that one. We wound up with 14. And then we were like, okay, we edited it down to 13. And it was so fantastic because she loved so much of our stuff. So the other thing that really is a parallel for the Art Museum and the Ebony Fashion Fair is that the Ebony Fashion Fair is celebrating their 50th anniversary. And we're celebrating 50 years of fabulous fashion and our fashion program. And the other thing that really makes a connection is that there were two strong women who started these programs. Eunice Johnson, African-American woman from Chicago, really opening doors that were closed to women of color. And Sister Eloise Hesburgh, so sister in full nun garments. She was a home economics. She had graduated from Mount Mary, and she was in the home economics department. And the president of the college at the time said, I think we should start a fashion program, and you're in charge. And so off she goes to New York, brings the president of the college, goes to all these fashion shows, and so many people really welcomed her. And so, again, opened doors for students at Mount Mary, just as Eunice Johnson opened doors to women of color to the fashion industry.
And that must have been fascinating to watch a nun in full habit talking about, you know, Valentino or talking about Ralph Lauren or whoever she was talking about.
Oh, and she's met many of the great designers, and also pictures of her and some of the other nuns in full habit at the runway was on Women's Wear Daily, the New York Times. People really picked up on this. And her notoriety connected us to a lot of people, Stephen Stippelman in New York, Charles Kleibacher. So a lot of these people had an integrated role in our building of our historic costume collection and our program. So
how did Mount Mary end up purchasing the pieces from Ebony Fashion Fair?
Well, our historic costume collection is made up of garments that people have donated, but also we have a group called the Friends of Fashion who have helped us raise money to secure garments. And so these garments were on sale through the Leslie Hinman Gallery in Chicago. Sister Eloise and some of the fashion department staff went and purchased some of the garments at some of these auctions. I think I want to mention the other thing that brings the two of the programs together, in that Mount Mary has such a strong commitment to social justice, and we see the show as not just a fashion show. I mean, what Eunice Johnson did was transform culture, and that is the thing that we look to do as we're educating students to transform the world. And many of our students are women of color, and many of our students are first generation in college. And so right now we're at a point where the relationship between the two is even so strong because of that social justice connection. And
well,
I think that's important.
And I think people tend to dismiss fashion as something that is frivolous, that is not terribly important except for the people who are making it. But to have it be a method that you can use to achieve or at least work towards social justice, I think is really quite wonderful.
It is. And also, one of the things that as we look through the garments and through the trends of fashion, it really tells a story of women. And when you're thinking about, you know, the hemlines going up and down, the things in the 60s and 70s, the power shoulders and, the, you know, all of those things were expressing culture. And so fashion is just one of those elements. You can see it in art. You can see it in literature. But I think fashion is a very tangible and tactile way to see how women expressed where they were in the world. And so I think absolutely what the garments say that we have and also that are in the Ebony traveling exhibit, there's a whole section on power. I mean, it's very intentional, a section that also talks about innovation. So I think when you look to what fashion can do for telling stories, it isn't just frivolous. And I think when people go to the show, and they definitely should because it's so unique, they will really, you know, read the stories, read, sit down and watch the videos, because there's so much information in there that's really telling more of the transformation of culture and how, you know, race kept women of color away from these things, and how that transformation in terms of using fashion as a power tool. Men have power tools, so women can have fashion power tools, although there are some very nice men's garments in the show as well.
I was going to say, it's not just women's. That's the other thing that's about. I mean, it's mostly women's clothing, but it's not all. And there are some very specific male garments there, too. Again, seen through the lens of race and seen through the lens of history, you know, as it was happening.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's been fun to learn more about that. And we've partnered in trying to bring educational components with the Art Museum. We've been working with Cream City Links and their programs that they were sponsoring. So it's been really eye-opening. And I think one of the things that really, for me personally, was to just learn more about how this world was for women of color and the fashion world. When you have white privilege, you don't notice the rest of the world in many ways.
And not in the same way.
Yeah, not in the same way. And so it was really fun, and meeting some friends who were at those fashion shows. And Mount Mary hosted some fashion shows on our campus.
Didn't you actually have them?
Yes, yeah. Four of them. Florida Perry Smith, who's a very good friend of the fashion program, she was instrumental in bringing those programs to Mount Mary. So we actually have that connection as well, which is really fun.
One of the things that Camille talked about when I interviewed her is part of the exhibit is asking people to come in and tell their stories. Is that something that Mount Mary is a big part of as well?
Well, I think that was really targeted to the people who may have been guests at those first fashion fairs. That was before my time in fashion fair. I don't know specifically who from our department may have participated in that. I think there was a lot of opportunity to collect oral histories from people. And in fact, a friend of mine said, I remember when the fashion show was in town because some of the models slept at my house because they couldn't stay in the hotels. And she said, I was a young child and my mother would bring home these glamorous models. And, you know, for her, that was just an interesting interlude. And I think as she's grown and now understands what was happening also, it was very poignant to come back to tell those stories to each other and the people who experienced it firsthand.
You mentioned this costume collection, and obviously the Ebony Fashion Fair part of it is important, but it's also important in and of itself, and you have many thousands of pieces.
Absolutely. Charles Kleibacher, who was an influential critic in our early program, he was very instrumental in encouraging Sister Aloise to create this collection. And at first, it was more informal. People would donate things. And then it became more targeted. And in fact, when he donated his collection, that really increased our collection substantially. So we have Lynn Fontaine's garments. We have garments from Hildegard. We have garments from, I'm pretty sure, every First Lady of Wisconsin. And many well-known people who have made sure that the garments of their parents or their own garments that may have, you know, had a significance in both either fashion or history have been donated to us. And we have fabulous hats and accessories and jewelry and
right.
shoes.
It's not just the dresses and the trousers and that sort of thing. It's hats. It's gloves. It's handbags.
It's undergarments.
Sure. Which
it's
also
wedding gowns.
Which tell a very interesting history as
yes.
well.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we've accumulated this, and I'd say we probably have 10,000 pieces. And, you know, at the moment, as we're now looking at 50 years and recognizing that, you know, we have to start limiting some of the things that we collect and winnow out things that we have duplicates of and deaccession them, whether it's to other museums or even in public sales. Those are the kinds of things that we're looking to do in the next, I would say the next year, is really to kind of target. We're working on developing some focus groups with folks who have been supporters of the historic costume collection to make us reimagine what the next 50 years is like. Because right now it's a collection that's really inspiration for design for the students and also history. We have a history of costume design, but we also want to make it accessible for scholarly research, because there's not only the look and appearance of the garments, but it is also about technique. And, you know, how certain seams were made, how shoulders were made. We have examples of all of those. And so the students' interaction and then scholarly research from people all over the country. And locally, we've interacted with the Milwaukee Rep and other theater companies who might come and say, you know, let me see some original things. We'd like to expand that. We think that doing that with a digital database would really help, because people could get subscriptions. Students from all over could appreciate it. We also know that, you know, there are limits to the amount of space. Any museum knows that. And we have to start thinking about, you know, what are the right spaces for all of these things. And then we want to have a more permanent exhibit gallery in the future. Right now, it's in one of our lecture halls in a certain area. But, you know, it could be so much more, and it could be more accessible. And that's one of our targets for the future.
Well, Barbara, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and telling us about the connection between the Ebony Fashion Fair and Mount Mary, but also this really exciting future that the costume collection has. Please come back when you get some things sorted and tell us what's
absolutely
coming next.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Barbara Armstrong is Dean of the School of Arts and Design at Milwaukee's Mount Mary University. Some of the school's historical fashion collection is included as part of the Inspiring Beauty 50 Years of the Ebony Fashion Fair exhibit, now on at the Milwaukee Art Museum. The show runs through early May.
It has been a good year for Milwaukee's Brittany Cavallaro. She has a new young adult novel accepted and in the works, and her new collection of poetry is recently out. We'll meet her when Lake Effect returns in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.